Larry Pauley from Slavic Gospel Association is here. You're from Illinois?
Southern Missouri.
Southern Missouri. So we'll be going to Northern Missouri next Sunday. But he's going to come present some ministry work that's been going on with Slavic Gospel Association. So Larry.
Thanks for the opportunity. I'm glad to be here. Well, it is good to see you this morning, and wasn't sure we'd be doing this with Sunday school. Pastor asked if I would come and preach this morning, which I was very, very glad to do. This has been marked in red on my calendar for some time. I love being back here. It is good to see you. Those that I know, some of your faces are new, and I hope to get to meet you. But it is a joy to be back here. I cherish the times that I get to be at Decatur Bible Church. You all have meant a great deal to me, and I pray for you regularly, and of course for Stephen and his family as well. Now, the Sunday school presentation, I wasn't sure if I'd be doing this part and talking about the mission or not, or if I would just be bringing the word in the morning service. I am glad to have this opportunity because there is much going on. Of course, your dear church has been involved for a very long time with us and over in those countries. And there are many wonderful things that we could talk about, to be sure. We work in about 13 countries of the former Soviet Union. And right now, the war is enveloping Russia, Ukraine, and Belarus. But that leaves 10 other countries where things are going on, and they are going on well. There is ministry among the orphanages that is increasing like crazy, and a lot of that in the war zone. Several of the orphanages have been shelled and bombed, and the kids have had to be relocated, and we've been involved in that. It's that time of year here, it's that time of year there, where summer camp ministries are starting to gear up. And by God's grace, the brothers and sisters over there are planning on having more than 46,000 kids in summer camp this year throughout the countries in which we work. Man, that's a lot of kids. But their desire and their prayer is that we would pray with them for all those camps that are about to get started. And of course, even though it's just June, they're already starting to think about this coming Christmas season with the Emmanuel's Child Outreach that your church has been a part of in the past. Last year, we prayed that the Lord would help us reach about 50,000 children. And the brothers and sisters, by the time they send in all their reports and stats and everything from the presentations, over 55,000 children heard the gospel, received the Christmas gifts, which of course included a Bible and Christian literature and candy and a couple toys. And many of those, in fact, over 23,000 of those said yes and let the churches come into their homes for the following 6 weeks to do discipleship and evangelism. And so it's just been a great season of ministry in spite of the crazy war. But here's what's interesting to me. I guess I can move around. I forget I have the lapel on. Here's what's interesting to me in one regard. With the war, which is what most people want to know about right now, last year, and I'm talking about the calendar year, 2022, in Ukraine, just the borders of the country that is torn by war and everything going on, over 3,000 new believers were baptized last year. The Lord is using a war to make people think about eternity and turn to Him. Now, you have to remember, too, they do things a little bit differently than we do. To be baptized, you have to become a believer and repent. And over there, coming to faith in Christ is not a private event. If you are going to repent of your sins, even if you do so at home with a pastoral visit or one of your neighbors or something, say on Tuesday, it is expected that if it's real, on the coming Sunday, you will be in church and you will go forward and you will repent publicly. That is how they recognize people coming to faith in Christ over there, that you're not ashamed to say that you need Christ. Then they will not baptize you immediately, but you have to live with them for a while, walk among them, show that the faith is real, and take baptism preparation classes. because in their opinion, to be baptized is to make a covenant with the Lord. And so when we say 3,000 were baptized, it's not just 3,000 said, hey, dunk me. It's a lot involved. And in spite of the war, that's what happened just in Ukraine in 2022. So God is doing some amazing things. And we can rejoice in that, amen? I mean, wouldn't we love to see 3,000 people saved in the state of Michigan this year? You know, so we are thrilled about all of that. But there is a war going on. And it has consumed a lot of our time and resources because we serve the local church. And for the churches involved in Ukraine and the churches involved in Russia, because the Russian churches are very much affected by this. And I'll try to explain that a little bit in a moment. And really, to a degree, the churches in Belarus, they are all involved in this war situation. And so it's been a very, very busy time with this war situation. And even though it is busy and crazy and desperate, we are still reminded from the Word of God, like Psalm 96:3, declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples. And that's a command. We're commanded to declare God's glory, to point to His goodness. And our brothers and sisters in those war-torn areas are committed to the idea that they should do that. They want people to know that God is good, even though man is bad. And it has been an amazing season of ministry coming alongside them because of all the things that we've been able to do physically. They do not allow any of it to take place unless they are also able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. It doesn't do any good to give somebody food if you're just keeping them alive longer and they don't know the Lord. It doesn't do any good to give them a blanket so they sleep well if they're sleeping well on their way to hell. And that's the attitude of the churches, is that we want them to know that this is coming because the Lord still loves them and cares about them, even though man does not. But it is a desperate situation. And like I said, I didn't know if this was going to work or not, or do anything about the mission, but we're going to try a couple videos this morning. And I want to just start with this little brief one. And I'm hearing a lot of static. Should I be? The video. Okay, great. Let's see if it works. This is the first one.
Це тут наші люди в Маріуполі так живуть. Їжу готують. Зараз мені допомогу привезли. Тут трохи їх продуктів. Сашко працює. Вітаю вас. Тут живуть люди. Коли обстріли починаються, тут вони живуть. Так що просимо підтримати маріупольців в молитві, щоб Бог беріг. Щоб ми вже повернули Україну додому. Все.
Believe it or not, what you just saw was a bomb shelter. And that is where they live and eat in that area right now. You saw the food. And that's where the people come to stay at night so they'll be safe as the bombs fall. And we'll get to her in a minute. But that's one of the bomb shelters that the church has been providing food and aid and help to. Now, most of us look at that and think, oh my goodness, I'm not sure if the bombing would be worse. But that's what they have. And the churches have been finding these bomb shelters all throughout their areas and going to the people and taking them food, taking them the gospel, taking them medicines and blankets and such. This was shot on a cell phone and spoken into, and we just added the words so you could see what they were saying. It was just one of the pastors wanting us to understand what it is they face every day, because right now, the pastors and the people of the churches that still exist are going out and trying to find those places. And that is the bulk of their ministry, other than the services of worship to the Lord and preaching the gospel. And so that is what is happening. But they see it as a way to declare the glory of God. I read for you Psalm 96:3 a few moments ago. In Psalm chapter 3, verse 3, we are told, "But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head." Now, that's an expressive praise verse, isn't it? Lord, you're my shield, you're my glory, and you lift my head, you hold me up in bad times. Well, the people, particularly our brothers and sisters in Ukraine right now, they are trying to live that out as best they can. Many people, including those of us at Slavic Gospel, were very concerned going into this past winter. And because, you know, the Ukrainian winters are much like your Upper Peninsula. Most of Ukraine has winter like that. Not all of it, but most of it has that kind of, usually a lot of snow, a lot of deep snow, a lot of cold. And we were concerned because you might recall last fall, the invading armies were bombing the electricity plants, and they were bombing the water purification areas, and they were taking out the natural gas resources because they were basically hoping to cause the people of Ukraine to lay down arms and say, okay, we give, because we don't have any power, we don't have any heat, we don't have any way to eat. And that's what they were doing, is they were trying to systematically shut down all of those things. And going into that winter, we had a program called Heat and Hope, where we came up with this idea to go to the churches and provide these generators. We're all familiar with that in this part of the country. But generators that would do the church building so that the people would have a common place to come and stay warm, and they could do food, and they could charge their cell phones and that type of thing. And as we were going into it, we were asking the Lord to provide 220 of these building-sized generators, because we could identify that many church buildings that were in fairly safe areas and people could get to. There were many others, but the churches we work with said those are the top 220. Well, we weren't able to go to the top 220. We ended up going to the top 348 as God's people just said, we want to help, we want to care. But here's what was so interesting about that, and here's what the people of Ukraine want me to share with you. I spent some time with Igor Bandura, the vice president of the Baptist Union that we work with over there, and he is absolutely steadfast. Don't forget to tell this part. We were all concerned about the winter, all concerned about going in, and we need the generators and some other things I'll tell you about in a moment. But last year, as the people of God prayed and worked and sought to minister to those around them, it was the warmest winter on record for Ukraine in the last 250 years. God made sure to answer the people's prayers in that regard. Now, I'm not going to lie, it's not like they were running around in shorts and t-shirts, okay, you know, nothing like that. But it was the warmest on record, and so that the generators went all that much further to the people. There were a lot of areas where those generators could not work. However, the buildings weren't large enough, the churches were small, they were scattered, that type of thing. And through our people and some of the new contacts that have developed because of the war, they found, and I didn't get all the videos in line, and I'm sorry for that. You would have got a kick out of this one. We found a gentleman in Germany who had designed this little lightweight aluminum stove that can be vented out a window or vented out of a hole cut in the door. And the burn box on it is only about that long, about that big around, so it'll burn kindling. But the way he designed it, it will heat a 20 by 20 room. And they're foldable. The only part that doesn't fold up is you all remember some of them, maybe you still use it, the metal flexible ducting that we use for dryers for so long. Now I know a lot of it's plastic, but we use that metal flexible. That's what you use to vent it. That, of course, doesn't really fold and it gets kind of nasty. But other than that, it's foldable and you can take them around. And what was interesting about them is it gives you a cooking space about 20 inches by 20 inches and they can cook on them. So they were able to take these little stoves into places that had no power, no gas, no whatever, and still cook meals for people, heat a room big enough for people to sleep in, maybe to even have church in. We never thought of it this way, but one of the missionary pastors got the great idea. He said, well, it's foldable. And so he earmarked 7 different little tiny areas that had churches in them that are just scattered. And he set up a rotation, and I don't know, he's probably still doing it, but he was going 7 days a week to a different place to heat up a room for them long enough, and he got into cooking sausages on this thing. And the video that I wish I could show you is of him with his stove cooking sausages, and he is just grinning from ear to ear because he's able to, and he says he's able to feed about 180 people per case of sausage. And so, and it's of him cooking the sausage, and in the translation, he said, "I love this little stove so much because of the ministry it's opened up for me. I call it my burning bush." But you know, we never thought about it being a portable thing, but they're resilient like that, and they care, and they were able to take it around. As we cared for them and worked with the churches, one of our people came across a mission organization working in Africa. And they were going to those desert countries of Africa, and they have been building these solar-powered systems that you get a solar cell with it that's foldable, and when it's unfolded, it's about the size of the pulpit, maybe a little bit taller, but you can fold it down to where it's about the size of a suitcase. And then it came with different things that would plug into it, and the sunshine would power, so you'd have enough to turn on some lights, charge your cell phones. It won't do a building, but it will do a lot of lighter type electricity draws. Well, this was meant for Africa, but one of the pastors saw that and said, "Would that work in Ukraine? Could we get that to places in Ukraine?" "We don't know." So we contacted the company, said these are the modifications that would be needed, and you'd have to do it for their type of electrical plug-ins and all that type of stuff. It took them about 2.5 months. They said, "We think we've got it." We ordered 20 of them, sent them over to the front lines, behind where Russia is occupying parts of Ukraine. Because part of the problem with the stove is it puts off smoke. And the way that they've been, if they see that these people have something to survive, they're going to bomb it, they're going to come after it, they're going to take it, whatever. Well, the solar power cells, you just have to be seen. Other than that, they don't put off any smoke or anything like that, and they are completely portable. And after the first 20 were sent over there, they fell in love with them. God's provided us. We have another 80 going over this next week. And it's just being used. And again, they're portable. And so some of those pastors are going from place to place to place, finding people who are in need. We got a letter from one a couple weeks ago. He said, "We are sincerely grateful to the Lord and to you for providing us with an alternative electricity system. Solar panels and components we never thought of. This is especially valuable today in the days of war in our country when electricity is out at all times. We use this panel as a stationary source of alternate power at our house of prayer," it's what they call their churches, "to charge smartphones, USB flashlights, LED lighting, and other low power devices." And so what they've been doing is they're setting up, and they spread by word of mouth, "We're going to have a church service and you can charge your cell phone." And unbelievers have been coming like crazy. And they're giving them the gospel while they wait for their phones to charge and holding services. He says, "We also use this system as a mobile power point. We take it with us on the road and use it to charge lower power devices in places where there's never been electricity. This helps the believers of our church family, other churches, and non-believers as well. And so it is a great tool for evangelism that allows us to make the first steps of a non-believer into the house of prayer, getting to know the church, and then coming to love Christ." And so that's their attitude in this whole thing, is how they've been doing that and how they've been caring that the gospel gets out to people. Again, in the Psalms, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens," Psalm 8:1. And our brothers and sisters over there, they absolutely believe that and want to make that the center of what they do. And so from the very first days of the conflict, in fact, I have an email dated February 25th. You might recall the invasion started on February 24th. February 24th, one of the pastors, regional pastors, he's over all the other pastors in the area of Ukraine, wrote to our office and said, "Please pray with us and give us your thoughts on how we can use this catastrophe to tell people about Christ." I mean, from the start, they have been wanting to see that this is a gospel opportunity. Recently, one of the pastors wrote this: "People continue to die. Houses are being destroyed. Millions of people are forced to seek shelter. By the grace of God, it is quiet in our region, although there is the constant threat of more rocket attacks, and so from time to time, we still hear air raid sirens. To the surprise of the whole world, and we ourselves are surprised, but rejoice that the Lord is protecting Ukraine and the plans of the enemy are being destroyed. The Russian occupiers did not manage to capture Kiev, or they pronounce it Kyiv, and the northern part of the country, which has given us the opportunity to still live in freedom, because my generation and the elders still remember well the Soviet times when people were forbidden to visit the church and read the Word of God. And it is precisely this godless ideology that is promoted by the Russian authorities in the occupied territories. So we still have freedom and accordingly the opportunity to freely bring the gospel to people. Although this time is difficult, it is valuable in its own way. Never thought I'd hear somebody talk about war like that. It is valuable in its own way, for there is a special value in the fact that people now look for the Lord. And that's their attitude. And it's revealing, too, and I think it's important for us to understand. He talked about the Russian-occupied territories where it's going back to the way it was in Soviet times. The one difference is they're allowing the Russian Orthodox Church to stay in operation because it is in the back pocket of Mr. Putin. And he's using the Russian Orthodox Church to say, oh, we still have religious freedom. It's just that's the only church that we support because to be Russian is to be Russian Orthodox. But for the churches that preach the word in the Russian-occupied territories, many of them have just been bombed and destroyed. The others that are still standing have been taken over in their barracks or their ammunition depots or other types such of things. And they have told the believers from those churches, you don't have a church anymore. There is only the Russian Orthodox. In several cases, we have reports of soldiers coming in and killing the pastors, saying there is only the Orthodox and you're teaching our people wrong. This is what's going on, and you don't hear about it on any news channel. Don't be fooled to think that any of them are better than the other, because you're not hearing about it on any news channel. It doesn't fit the stories that people want to hear. That part of what's going on is that they are killing our brothers and sisters and closing the churches. So that's kind of what's going on. But another psalm, Psalm 29, 1 and 2 says this, ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Worship is not the first thing that comes to my mind when I think of bombs falling. It just, I'm honest with you. I don't know that I could do what these guys are doing. I may have said this when I was here this past summer, last summer as the war had already started, but you let a bomb go off in that corner, I'm pretty sure I'm running to this corner. And I'm pretty sure most of you would join me. Over there, the bombs are going off in that corner, and when the dust settles, the churches are flocking to see what they can do. It's just been amazing to me. One of the stories involves this little sweetheart here. I have a better video, but it was too long to do in a quick email. That's Marina. Marina is a little ray of sunshine. And, well, there, that's a perfect place to stop. You can see that smile. It was that way all the time before the war. We know Marina already because her grandfather is a missionary church pastor with us and a Ukrainian national. And he is an older gentleman, Sergei Kostin. They have tried to make Sergei a regional pastor for years, and he's refused. He says, God's called me to start churches, not to oversee them. And he has traveled through Ukraine for most of his ministry, getting churches started and staying long enough that they could call a pastor. Several months ago, in the bombing, his house was hit. And again, you know, they tell you they're just targeting military targets. Well, that's a lie. His house was hit, and his extended family was staying with him, including Marina, who's his granddaughter. Marina and her mother were both severely injured. They had to be taken to a hospital, and that in itself is a whole horrific story. But Marina lost her leg as part of this process. They had to take the leg and amputate it. And at the time of the bombing. She was only 5 and a half. And she's 6 years old now. And the extended video that I would show you shows her when they first gave her her prosthetic leg, and they handed it to her, and of course it was just the metal apparatus with a shoe on the bottom. She's holding it in her hand, looking at it like, I don't think so, you know? But they taught her and convinced her, and she is such a ray of sunshine that they sent us this little video showing how we were able, through SGA and some of our partners, to pay for the prosthetic leg for her. And you can go ahead and play this. There's not much to it, really. But it just shows you how far she's gone.
Маринка, як Кеша?
As you can see, you can tell which leg is the prosthetic, and it's kind of stiff in that video. The most recent video that they sent us, taken on their cell phone, she's running. But that's not the story. She's in the hospital with a lot of other children, and CNN Europe sent a reporter in to show the results of this war, and it's not all that Russia claims that it is. And they were talking to the kids, and they kept coming back to her because, as you can see, she's very personable. The camera loves her. She smiled a lot, even though she's laying in this hospital bed with a stump at the time. This is before the prosthesis got to her. They finished their interviews, and the reporter came back to her one more time with the camera on and the microphone and said, Marina, much of the world will see this. Is there anything you would like to say to anybody? We'll show it. And this little 5 and a half year old girl at the time, now 6, said, yes, please tell President Zelensky that I am praying for him. Out of the mouths of babes, right? And raised by her grandfather and mother. Dad is out of the picture through death. And so this got to President Zelensky, who found out when her birthday was and videotaped a birthday greeting to her and had it sent to her for her birthday when she turned 6. Now, this is not to say in any way, shape, or form that President Zelensky knows the Lord or is open to the gospel or anything like that. It is to say that even in the war situation with what's going on, the Lord will use a little 5 and a half year old girl to say something to the ear of the president of Ukraine during a wartime and keep him open and softening toward the gospel. In several media reports right around that time, he was telling people that one of his sources of strength was he knew this little girl that was praying for him. So you never know how the Lord is working and why it is worthy, he is worthy that we would ascribe to him glory and strength like the psalm says. I should have asked Brian, what time am I supposed to be done? Oh, okay, we're in good shape. Because I want to give you time for questions. Very good. Well, I remember something about cookies, and I don't want to get in the way of that. So that's what the Lord is doing. And in between times, he's working through the church. Most of you, if you know Slavic Gospel at all, know that one of the reasons we partner together with you is that we exist to serve the church. We serve the churches over there. We do not send Westerners and tell them, this is how we're doing it. We have at times sent Westerners to help them with what they want to get done, but they're in charge because it's their country. And the churches there that we work with preach the word and they know what it takes. They know the language. They like the food. They live there already, you know. And they can get so much more done with a dollar than any of us can. So we serve the church, and we serve the church here, or try to. That's one reason why I'm here again, is because we love Decatur Bible Church, and we want to serve Decatur Bible Church. We don't want to just come and say, hey, give money to a project. Well, in serving the church, we get to hear about what the churches are doing. And just this past week, I threw this into my notes in case we did have a chance to talk about it. You might have heard the city Zaporozhye, or region Zaporozhye, mentioned in the news. Part of the reason for that is because there's a large nuclear power plant in that area that has been the subject of several battles. Zaporozhye is also an area as a region that includes the port cities and the important city of Odessa. And so it has been an area of a lot of fighting. The church there, church buildings there don't exist anymore, but the church there, many of them who at first ran to other parts of Ukraine, they've been filtering back because they say it's our home and there's a work to be done. And recently, like I said, just this past week, we got this note from one of the churches in Zaporozhye. It said, our small church in Zaporozhye would like to thank God and SGA and all the people who are not indifferent to the Ukrainian sufferings. Most of our region is under occupation. The city is under shelling all the time. Many factories are gone. There are no jobs. People are in poverty. But God blesses His children through the work of ordinary Christians who love God, for which we are so very, very grateful. From our church, 40% were forced to leave and not come back. And those who have stayed or come back are actively serving the people, serving one another, loving the Lord, and obeying His commandments. Whatever you did to one of these little ones, you did to me. We, as all the people in the city, have great difficulties with finances, food, hygiene supplies, and more. But thanks to our Heavenly Father, who has your hearts and gives people wisdom to participate in our needs, we see His grace. The church today is able to distribute food packages and prepare meals for the needy, to prepare meals for the internally displaced peoples and for the refugees. All of these circumstances have caused our church to welcome many church visitors. There are always many people at our services who want to hear God's word, sing together, and pray. Others will also go to small groups, and there are some preparing for baptism. Our deepest gratitude to God, and a big thank you to the leadership of SGA and to all those who donate their funds to fulfill God's plan here on earth. May God reward you with strength and health. God's blessings to all of you. Pastor Victor Brinza. And so that's just this within this last week, the testimony of one of the pastors. And so it continues to go on, and yet they continue to find ways to help. Attached to his letter that I didn't send our brother was a video of the ladies from the church in the church kitchen on Monday preparing the food parcels that they will take and go look for survivors or take to poor people. They know that there are a lot of people in all of these regions who are living in the bombed out basements, what used to be their homes or apartment buildings. Everything on the top is gone, but they're in the basements because they don't know where else to go. And so the church is taking them food and supplies to try to take care of them in those circumstances. The video of the ladies in the church was interesting to me. They didn't even translate it, didn't have to. The ladies are in the church, and a lot of their church buildings are not wonderful like this. They are converted houses that they meet in. And so they had taken over the entire building to do this, having had worship on Sunday, and they had the kitchen going because they were canning meat. And then in every room, they had tables set up like an assembly line. And the foodstuffs that they had been able to find or that we'd been able to send them and everything, they were canning the meat and put it in cans, and that was one group over here and letting them cool in another area. This group was doing canned goods. This group over here was doing the loaf of bread on top of it. And then the final person, this is why I wish I could show you the video, the final person to inspect every parcel before a couple of the guys picked them up and loaded them in the room where they would put them in the vans to go take to people in need, was a 90-year-old sister who, just like all the other ladies in the house, had her scarf on her head. They'll wear that when they're working together. And her job was to go through each box and make sure that there was no more room in there for something. And she had a big bag of what somebody had bought, and I think this is so sweet, a big bag of candy. And any open spaces, she was scooping it up and filling it in with candy, so that even in war, these people would have something sweet and something totally unexpected in the middle of a war. And that's one of the ways the church is working over there. And one of the things that they are doing, and my wife is teaching a Bible study that started this past week, and it's one of the reasons she's not with me on this trip. Originally, we had planned to be here together and spend a few days in this lovely part of Michigan, visiting some other churches. But she was asked to start a Bible study at our home church, and she agreed to do that. But she's using that video as an illustration when they get to Anna. She's teaching a Bible study on women in the Bible. And Anna in the temple, who of course was very elderly when Jesus was born, but she was waiting for the coming of the Lord. And you know the story, I'm sure, from Luke. And so she wants to show this video to the ladies at our church, showing them a modern day Anna who is still serving every way she can and scooping candy into the food parcels for the people that are going to get it. Well, a psalm also says, "Be exalted, O God, over the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth." And I've been talking nonstop, I know, but I've been talking and just barely scratching the surface of the stories that have come out of what God has been doing in this war, telling you of people coming to faith. I haven't talked about the doctor who at 80 years of age finally came to faith, the pastor had been witnessing to for years, and then got baptized in a bombed out apartment building in a bathtub. Because he so desperately wanted people to see that he wanted to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Stories like that just abound, and it's really encouraging and wonderful. I wouldn't show you some of the videos. I don't like all the things that I have to see. Some of the videos that we get of the results of the bombings and the war are pretty horrific, but of churches that have been bombed out and everything else along that nature, it's been pretty bad. But I'd like to close with this reminder that the Lord is doing some wonderful things. And I started our time together with that, and in all the various countries that we serve in. Recently, we got an interesting video sent to us, and I hope we can show it. It was the one that, number three, I hope. Great. You'll be able to read this, and I'll explain after you see it.
Братья и сестры, меня зовут Икром, я пастор этой церкви, я сам бывший мусульманин. В наших краях очень, так сказать, гонения со стороны знакомых в таком случае, что ты зависишь от много других людей, потому что здесь такая культура другая, поэтому, когда ты здесь становишься христианином, все тебя обзывают, что ты продал свою веру, ты изменил веру, ты такой плохой человек, поэтому очень трудно, если так сказать, здесь быть христианином. Но, с другой стороны, Господь Иисус говорил, что за меня вас будут ругать, убить, гнать. Поэтому были такие моменты, что были гонения со стороны родственников, со стороны властей. И были такие моменты, что мы как бы под поле собирались. Мы открыто не могли собираться. Есть до сих пор такие опасения. Но слава Богу, что Господь дает силу. Молитесь за нас, чтобы мы в таких ситуациях мы держали, да, мы были верны Господу.
He's from Tajikistan, and that was one of the videos that I wanted to make sure. She said we're just being recorded audio, and I'm glad for that because outside of our churches here, we're not really allowing his face to be seen because he's under persecution. As you saw in his testimony there in Tajikistan, he is a former Muslim. His church is made up of about 50 Muslims who have come to faith in Jesus Christ. And that is part, and you say, well, Muslim ministry, I thought you were Slavic Gospel Association. Tajikistan was part of the former Soviet Union. And they speak Russian there. And so even though it's under a Muslim or Islamic rule, we're able to have ministry there that is still pretty much underground, as you saw from Pastor Ikram. And I wanted to show that to end my time with you about the ministry, so I can go back to where we started. The war is dominating much of our thinking and efforts and what's online. But there are all these other countries where God is doing amazing things, like using a former Muslim, bringing him to faith, teaching him the word, and now there's a church of 50 Muslim men, or former Muslim men, who are growing in the word of God and who are willing to face persecution. He's very careful in the video, as he has to be, but when he talks about things are difficult, they're being killed for their faith in Tajikistan, just like in so many other places. And yet God is working. And so this morning, I am just glad for the opportunity to remind you, to, I hope, encourage you with some of what I've shared, of people coming to faith, of things that God is doing, of opportunities that he's allowing the American church to be involved in. You know, it really is true. They have all these opportunities for ministry, but we have the means. They don't have the means. And Slavic Gospel is so privileged to be in a position where we can take what people here care with and care about and what they can share and meet the needs over there. And one day we'll all be in glory together, and we'll rejoice together that these 3,000 in Ukraine came to faith, not just because of the Ukrainian church, but because of the American churches that helped. And we will enter into the labors of one another and to the glory of God. From what you said, I have a couple minutes for questions. Of the former Soviet Union? According to the Baptist unions that we serve, if you take all of those countries into effect, you're talking about maybe 0.5%. Yeah. When you talk about all those countries together, you have to realize when you put together all the countries that made the Soviet Union, it's 12.5 time zones wide. And that's more than half the earth. And they had 70 years of communism, which we are still finding did a very effective job. And I mean, it was much less than that. It was 0.1% when the Iron Curtain came down. So it's been a huge increase, but there's a lot of people. And the other thing is, we are careful in our estimates. There are a lot of them that would claim, but then you question them and they're Orthodox, which does not believe the gospel, or they're this, that, or the other thing. One of the horrible things that's happened, as in most cases, America exports its worst. And the prosperity gospel has taken root over there. And the charismatic chaos is just great, even there. So lots of work to do, but we praise the Lord for going from 0.1% to 0.5%. That's a big growth. And it's more in some countries. Ukraine, before the war, was considered the Bible Belt of Europe. And so a lot of it was concentrated in Ukraine. And so, brother. You know, I wish people would, and by that I mean the media, would either do their homework or just shut up. He's closing churches. He's been, by government fiat, closing the churches of the Russian Orthodox Church that has stayed loyal to Putin and has been serving as havens for attacking Ukraine within Ukraine's borders. And those Russian Orthodox churches that are loyal to Putin that still had churches in Ukraine, those are the ones he's closing. And I don't blame them, you know?
How is this affecting the soul?
Oh, your church planter?
Yeah.
Well, I tried to get a direct report knowing I was coming here from him. And he, like many of the other pastors, is involved in relief. He has been in a relatively safe area for much of the war. But his church is involved in the relief efforts and going to places and meeting the needs. They've been housing what they call IDPs, internally displaced peoples. And frankly, I bet they're sleeping about 4 hours a night. But I wasn't able to get a direct response in time for you. But the last word we had is he's doing well, and his church is very involved in reaching others right now. There's, like the other churches in Ukraine, seizing it as an opportunity that they don't think. They hope, they pray, like we do, that it won't last long. And so that's where they're at. So, but he is well. So we're glad for that.
You mentioned the prosperity gospel. Is that kind of movement kind of dissipated then as a result of this? Or?
Sadly, no. In Ukraine, it's not as prevalent. As I said a moment ago, they have considered it kind of the Bible Belt. Two of the four largest seminaries in the former Soviet Union are in Ukraine. Ukraine, believe it or not, had more Bible preaching churches before the war than Russia, even though Russia is 11 time zones wide. And so it hasn't taken as firm a hold in Ukraine. It is rampant in Russia. It is rampant in Moldova and Armenia and Georgia and countries like that. Our brothers and sisters in Poland. And that's one of the things the Lord has used this war for. The Polish Baptist Union for years was kind of, we can take care of ourselves. And when all the refugees came flooding into Poland, they said, we need help. And so they have now entered into fellowship with the other churches like them from Ukraine and the other countries and said, we've been alone too long. We didn't realize what we were missing. And the fellowship has opened up and they've started an extension from European Biblical Seminary in Warsaw and all of that. But Poland is rife with the prosperity gospel. And so it's really some of those countries that may be a tad more modern, but didn't have a great number of Bible preaching churches yet, is where it's really, Moscow has some amazingly large prosperity gospel churches. And people say, well, man, you'd think with Putin and all of his, he'd shut those guys down in a heartbeat. They know where to spend their money. So that's what's going on there. Nobody? Oh, repeat. What, SGA? Okay, yeah, thanks, that's always great. And boy, the list is too long. And when you say priority, right now with the war-related efforts, we need more of those solar-powered systems. Like I said, we've got an order for some, but ordering them and paying for them is two different things. And they cost about $900 each. And of course, we're giving them to the churches. So as far as war-related efforts, that would be on the list, but also we just had a meeting on Thursday afternoon, and because of the dam that was just blown up, I haven't even talked about that. I'm sure you heard about that, and it's so affected Ukraine, and the stories from there are just horrific. On the Russian side, soldiers have blockaded the roads escaping from the towns and told the people, you have to go back to your homes, sending them there to die. They're not rescuing their own people. It's horrific. In Ukraine, it's very different. But the crops were just starting to come on, that type of thing. The humanitarian crisis, because of the dam breakage and being blown up, is probably going to be our number one priority starting this next week. Because we're now hearing from the churches. They've been able to get into the region and assess the damage. And it's awful. And we still don't have a good handle on the death toll. So that probably relief for the flood victims is going to be our number one priority right now. And the churches over this weekend, we're going to be formulating their plan to share with us so we know how to help them. So I can't really say what that's going to look like yet because they're meeting even today. Well, they met today. It's their nighttime. But that's going to be our top priority going forward for the next few weeks, I know. Folks, thank you. I love this church, and I am so grateful to be back. And I appreciate the opportunity. I didn't know if we'd have this chance or not, but thank you very much, brother.
Thank you, Brother Larry.
Thank you.
All right, let's go ahead and close in prayer. Father God, you're amazing. Thank you for all that's going on, Father. We just pray that you continue the work that's going on in Ukraine as well as the Slavic area. We just pray that you help us to continue to think about them throughout our week, Father, is what they have going on there. And we just pray that you'll be with these people that's been on the other side of the dam that's been blowing up, Father. We just pray that you help these churches be able to get in and help them. We pray that you prepare our hearts for this next hour, that you help us be ready to worship you In your precious, most holy name, amen.